And we're back at 7:30 now. News Talk 107.9, Neil Larson along with Julie Mason. And last week, Julie and I were having a conversation, and we were like, you know, we haven't had Dorothy Moon on in a while, and the elections are over. We should bring her on. And then you began scheduling her, and we see the announcement yesterday that she's running for re-election as the state party chair. And so the timing was perfect. Dorothy, welcome to the program this morning. How are you?
Well, thanks, Neil. And, you know, I was thinking the same thing. How come I haven't been on with Neil and Julie? I'm kidding. I was going to call you anyway. So, no, this is perfect timing. And thank you so much for having me on.
Well, let's you bet. You're always welcome here. And you know that. But let's talk about the most pressing thing. You made the announcement yesterday, even on some of the national conservative media, that you are running for another term as the state party chair. So we'd love for you to elaborate on that.
Sure. You know, Neil, Julie, you know what we, at least what's happened in the past 4 years, you know, a lot of issues, ranked choice voting being huge in us as Idahoans came out with 70% of the vote to say, no, we don't want it. And Neil, you know, we were actually talking with somebody about your write-up about the dangers of ranked choice voting and what an impact it had on Southeast Idaho. And, you know, if we all work together, it's amazing what we can accomplish, especially when it's common sense. And so I'm looking at the abortion initiative, and we'll talk about that in a second. But the reason why I am running is because of the fact that the infighting that has always plagued this party has gone on, I truly believe, because of the inconsistencies in the direction that the party's been going because of differing executive boards or executive directors or what have you. And yes, the fact that, you know, every year, every 2 years or every 4 years, we switch and people have got their daggers out, and we'll just call it, I call it the establishment side and the liberty side. Establishment has always done it their way. The liberty side, whether people like it or not, our Californians, Oregonian, and Washington brothers and sisters have moved here and lived here, and we need to try to work together. I've always been really clear that I want you to follow the rules. I know it sounds easy, but, you know, we still have a problem with some people not wanting to follow the rules. They want tradition. Well, tradition may not necessarily mean you're following the rules. In fact, we just saw this play out over the weekend. We had in our party the opportunity to have all the PCs that were elected May 19th to get together in their counties and set up their central committees. And this is where the PCs, which were elected by the grassroots, say, we want this person for chair, state committee man, state committee woman, and youth. And those four are the voting block on the state central committee, which makes every decision for the party. It's not Dorothy Moon waving around a magic wand saying, I want this or I want this. I just run the meetings, which some people haven't figured out yet. I mean, I am the face of the party at the Lincoln days and all of that. And I try to, you know, yeah, I cheerlead. I'm a cheerleader. But, you know, fact of the matter is when you have rules, people seem to like it. They like it.
So, Dorothy, I want to ask you specifically about our region, and I'll, you know, let you answer how you'd like. But if you look at specifically Bingham County and Bonneville County on this side of the state, it really has been taken over, dominated in recent years by more moderate Republicans. And some would say they're not even truly Republicans simply because of the way they believe and function. But a couple of things happened this year that I found unique. In Bingham County, we had this group called Team Sunshine that didn't identify who they were, who was behind it, how it was paid. And they did kind of a workaround where they had each of the precinct officers spend their own money to send the literature out. So they got sort of outside the paid for by requirement doing that. In Bonneville County, you had the chairman of the party here creating his own PAC to pick winners and losers and making donations to particular candidates. which in spirit was the critique they leveled at, I think, Doyle Beck a few years ago, that the local party was picking winners and losers. And now you have sort of that exact dynamic, that it was on that outrage that they took power, but now it seems like everything's come full circle and they're behaving in the same way. And I'd love your thoughts on this kind of thing happening in our local Republican parties.
You know, you can't even make this up. And Neil, you're right. It's crazy what the disdain they had for the actions taken by the previous Central Committee. And now they're doing the same. That's the problem. And first of all, it's a huge violation of the rules. You are not supposed to endorse PCs. You know, that's the grassroots of the whole thing. And the cream has to rise, and that they have to get out and work. If they don't get out and work for their campaign and go door to door or go to a meet and greet and introduce themselves, I mean, really work it. I don't want them as a PC. If they're, I mean, that means they're not going to work for the next 2 years. They're not going to do anything. So, you know, it is very sad to me. I did see that Team Sunshine, which was anything but. And, you know, what I tell people, when you see something like that in the mail or it's handed to you and they do not disclose that it's been reported or who put it out or who paid for it, throw it in the trash. And I've been clear about that on media, because that means it's nefarious. And I truly believe that. They want transparency, but then they truly don't want transparency. So shame on them. Now, I have and same what you said about creating a PAC in your own name. Well, that's what if I created my own PAC as the chair of the party? Oh, I guess I could do that. I don't think Mike Colson would maybe come to a meeting, an executive meeting, and chastise me for it. Yeah, he would.
Yeah.
You know, but then he's doing it. So, you know, people really need to watch their actions. And I am surprised some people still got into their committee assignments because of these kind of things. If somebody would do that, I would really question. Well, one, integrity is huge with me. I would question that. And just, you know, maybe we need to change that out. Haven't had a lot of, you know, success in getting them up here to the office. I know that. And I had this discussion the other day. I have been criticized about our financials, which are so squeaky clean. I'm telling you, Neil, Julie, the federal reporting and state reporting, you do not do anything wrong there. It is squeaky clean. We have audits every year, and they come into the, you know, central meetings and say, we want to see your books. We want to see your books. Well, first thing you don't want to do is disclose everything in an executive meeting, because some of those region chairs take that information and leak it to people who have want to create, you know, these nefarious people who write horrible things about good Republicans. And so that's the line we've got to be really careful about. So if someone in Southeast Idaho is accusing us of not having clean books, by golly gee, get up here. I will sit there with you, and so will our treasurer, Steve Bender. And if you want the Finance Review Committee, we can get all of them in here too, so you can ask us all the tough questions that I will guarantee you we have an answer for.
So let's say, let's just carry on with this scenario that you're talking about. What is the working relationship between the Bingham County Central Committee and the Bonneville County Central Committee? They are clearly in a differing camp than where you're at right now. What's that like between you and the people who help you and those committees?
Most of the committees are fantastic. There's no communication at all. Bingham and Bonneville, and I believe they had a multi-county Lincoln Day. You know, we don't hear much about it until right before it happens, more or less that I guess we can find some other Lincoln Days to go to, which is kind of sad. There's one other county which just tries to ignore the state party. But, you know, you are part of this team. And if you don't want to be a part of this team, then remove yourselves from that that county central committee. Go do your own thing. But put people in there that are really going to work hard for that county. You know, so now we have other groups, the North Idaho Patriots. I actually went down. I was invited to come down and, you know, share a dinner. It was kind of like another conservative Republican event. It was beautifully done. Brett Skidmore did a fantastic job and his crew. There's a lot more people involved. And, you know, they raised a lot of money. I helped them raise money because we want to get good conservatives in. So, you know, I work with any party that wants to work with me. But if they don't want anybody from the current administration to come and help or to do trainings to make sure people know what they're supposed to do once they get into a position, then that community is being so underrepresented in the party. It's very sad. You know, you can get a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And these guys, I believe they think they have their own fiefdom. They do not have to be part of the whole. And that is not how this is supposed to work. So I don't know. It's a hard call. But as long as people keep putting those folks back in, it's you know, it's never going to change, especially in those two counties.
We're talking with Dorothy Moon, Idaho State Party Chair for the Republican Party. Dorothy, and I'm sure you were looking at how all of these precinct races came out. There are hundreds and hundreds across the state. We know the legislative seats shifted a couple of notches back, you know, toward the center, to the kind of a leftward shift, but not huge. Did the precinct races do the same thing, or is it kind of too early to tell?
Oh, the precinct races, I think, were actually much better. You know, the grassroots really like what the party's doing. And I do mean that. If they're going to run at a precinct level, and I'm not talking to people who run all the time every year, but a lot of new people are getting involved who are excited, who want to get out in the community, are not afraid to door knock. That's really what it takes. But no, I've seen there's a lot of good PCs coming in, very supportive of, guess what, following the rules. You know, that's the teacher in me. You have a classroom. If you're consistent in your rules, you're going to have control of the classroom and be fair. The other thing, too, is, you know, these folks like raising money. Not only, you know, some people donate to the party directly, but a lot of them help their counties. And the counties do need money when it comes down to things like buying or getting some of the Idaho Value Life signs, which you might have seen a smattering of them around. Well, that's going to change here pretty soon. But, you know, the PCs, again, they're my most important part of this entire hierarchy. I love the PCs. And yes, I have seen a shift to more conservative group who want to engage, and a lot of it is because of the abortion initiative. We've got troops ready to go get into the, you know, people's neighborhoods and talk about how dangerous this is.
Let's dive into that a little bit. Tell us, you believe it's going to be on the ballot, and now you're marshaling the forces to make sure that this doesn't change. Explain to people what the initiative is.
Okay, the initiative is horrible. This is Reclaim Idaho. There's 9 components to it that are pretty egregious. But the worst part, of course, is the fact you can now have an abortion at 24, 25 weeks. And I will tell you, when I was at the Custer County Lincoln Day event, a woman came up to me and held a picture up of a little tiny baby. She said, "This is my new granddaughter. She weighs 1.5 pounds and she has monitors on every inch of her little baby body. And not one monitor is stripped because she's a fighter and she's going to live. And so there you have right there the standard now moving to 24, 25 weeks. That baby could be killed. And it can't be a thriving baby because this is a little fighter. So when you see that, you know, that gave me goosebumps because we have to show what a 24, 25 month baby looks like instead of just a mob of cells. But no, on the abortion thing, that's number one, moving that needle to 24, 25 weeks. Number two, this will totally reverse the statute that boys and girls under 18 can go into St. Luke's and start hormone therapy or have their breast removed to change their sex. We have it on the books. You cannot do that in Idaho. Minors cannot have sex change operations or hormone blockers. And that will totally gut that piece of statute. The third thing is abortion up to 9 months. I do not believe Idaho is ready for abortions up to 9 months upon the condition that a medical professional, not an OBGYN, any medical professional, which is a huge umbrella, of people can say, you know, you've got PTSD over having a seventh boy. You really wanted a girl. You know, if you want to take the baby, let's just take it. You know, there could be all kinds of strange scenarios. But up to 9 months, you can have an abortion.
Wow.
Wow. I would think that that would be a non-starter for nearly everyone voting.
Oh, you would think so. But Neil, when I went around the state on these Lincoln Day events, I took Idaho Valued Life signs. And in my Explorer, I can get about 4 4-foot by 8-foot. So I'm packed with signs. Do you know there are some communities I went into, they didn't want any signs because they believe in women's reproductive rights. That's how this is being sold.
Yeah.
This next to ranked choice voting, Neil. And Julie, this is the second biggest fight we will have in this state. So we really have to be ready. And that is a big consideration of why I ran. We can't murder babies in the state. We're a red state. This is not going to happen. And this is not going to define us. Other states, you know, Wyoming, I believe they got that through. So it's things or Montana. It's something we really have to watch. And be ready for it. Now, I did talk to Phil McGrain before coming onto your show, so I have very accurate information. By June 30th, I mean, that's when it's locked in that it will be on the ballot. I figured as much that based on the amount of signatures that have been received, it is going to make it. On the marijuana one, not so much. So that's good, because that won't get that voting block out, which could affect our senator's race. Turnout's going to be important. And if we have people who want abortions up to 9 months and want marijuana, we've got a very tricky little election coming up in November.
Okay, let's go back on marijuana for just a moment, because Julie and I thought they got plenty of signatures as well, but you're saying they may be short?
Yeah, because remember, it's two different issues. One is for medical and one is for recreational. Yeah. So, you know, but they're not together. And so there's not a real appetite, definitely, for the recreational. And then the medical has been confused so much with recreational that might have stymied that a little bit.
Okay.
Okay. This is some good news, because we were operating under the concept that both were going to eventually make it onto the ballot.
Yeah.
Well, we'll know June 30th for sure. But, you know, nothing else. No signatures are coming in. And based on my conversation, we're hoping, you know, that's the best scenario and pretty much how it's going to work. So I hope. I mean, I could be wrong, but this is what I just heard about 15 minutes ago. So let's hope and pray that goes that way. We're ready to fight everything. Okay. Yeah. If we need to fight the abortion initiative, if we need to go after any initiative that deals with the marijuana, we're on it. And again, I feel like since our success with ranked choice voting, and, you know, it's interesting because I think any opposition to my running for chair again, they're going to come out and say, well, Dorothy didn't get the grocery sales tax done. She doesn't know how to do an initiative. Well, wait a minute. Whoa. Okay. Dorothy was at East Idaho Fair for 12 hours a day collecting signatures for 3 days, because I always open up that fair with the team. And then gun shows. Mm-hmm. I've got pictures of me at gun shows collecting signatures. Dorothy was out there. A lot of people who really wanted this, I don't even know if they even collected a signature other than their own. So, you know, people can throw stones, but you know what? If there's not an appetite for 10 years, even before I got into the legislature, Governor Otter and Governor Little both ran on the fact that they are going to support grocery sales tax. Otter did not. He vetoed it. Remember, we eventually wound up in court. And Brian Smith led the charge for all of the liberty legislators that wanted to see this get through. So, and then it was just a total ruse that they said, well, yeah, he kind of missed the deadline to veto it, but you know, we're going to give him a pass, which was so wrong from the Supreme Court. Anyway, it is a problem, and on these issues, we just have to make sure that we're ready. We're gonna get out there. We're gonna be vocal. We're gonna put out a lot of literature, and we're gonna make sure we fight on these things. But the grocery sales tax was already not being considered as a strong enough issue when people are looking at property tax.
Yeah,
they want property tax relief. Right.
I was gonna ask really quickly, if somebody wants to join your fight against this abortion initiative, how can they get signs? How can they get involved in this community going around and educating people?
A great idea. You know, Julianne Young, God love her. I do love her. She is a fantastic woman, fantastic conservative and Christian. And she will work to fight on this abortion initiative. I'm actually even talking to Carrie Hanks about helping too. Or I've put in some calls. We're gonna hook up and try to get these folks out there and start having meetings. Now, when I was at Adams County, a woman came up to me. She is a chaplain for the Adams County Sheriff's Office, and she was also in the military. She told me during COVID that she was pregnant, and 17 times the doctor on base said, "Why don't you just abort this baby? You can have another one because you have to take the shot." She goes, "I'm not taking." 17 times it was the suggestion to have an abortion. She said, "No way." She had her baby, and she came up to you. I mean, you wouldn't believe what you find out at a Lincoln Day event. She came up to me. She goes, "Dorothy, I will tell my story." So these are the people I will put on a speakers bureau. So if Julianne has an event, I will have somebody go and talk about, you know, why you don't want to do this. You know, it's a life, and it is its own life. And so anyway, I will have a speakers bureau. People like Julianne or Carrie will get this set up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, Dorothy Moon, our guest this morning. Dorothy, really quick, when is the state convention and the vote for party chair?
Okay, it is June 20th, so 18, 19, 20. Our convention is going to be up in the Capitol Church at the corner of Fairview and Eagle. Big church, that's where we had...
Yeah.
And anyways, that's where we're going to be at on the 20th, probably in the afternoon or late morning. We will be voting on officers.
Okay. All right. I've told people not to email me during the show, but apparently they don't listen. So
they probably want to ask a question, Neil.
Probably so. Dorothy Moon, thank you for joining us. We wish you the best, and we'll chat again soon.
Okay. Thank you so much. Appreciate you. Thanks, Julie and Neil.
All right.